Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And it's really good to have you here this evening, this Sunday, May 12th, 2024. And we're here every Sunday on New Visions Radio at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Thanks to God and our Lord Jesus that we can do this each week. And you know, we're grateful to Ray Powers that God provided him at the right time to give us the ability to be able to do this as well. And you know, just thanks, Ray, for all you do and keeping us on the air here, for giving us this platform. And friends, we're grateful that you tune in each week and we can open God's Word and just see what he has to say to us.
It's refreshing to know that there are other people in the world that are interested to see what God's Word says.
Amen. It really is. It's amazing. I'm surprised each week when, or each month, when Ray sends us the stats of how many people tune in each week to listen and to hear what the Word of God has to say. You know, it seems like, by the way the world is going at, it seems like people are losing interest. But at the same time, it looks like God has let things shake up in this world enough that people are making a decision. They're either going to choose right or wrong. Mm-hmm. Doesn't it seem that way to you?
Light or darkness.
Light or darkness. And in Deuteronomy, I think it says, I put before you a blessing and a curse.
Yes.
Life and death. And then what does it say?
It says, choose life.
Choose life. Yeah. And, you know, and some people I've noticed, too, in this world, the way things are going, they look around and say, why would I want to live in this world? And, you know, because things are so bad, that's some of the things that people think of. But it's not going to be like this.
Our hope isn't really in this world.
Amen to that.
Our hope is in Christ's coming and God recreating the world.
Absolutely. And that's why, you know, we looked last week, we read that text where Jesus said, this day, today, I'm telling you today, you will be with me in paradise.
Right.
So where Jesus is, there is paradise, right? Yeah. And he's going to recreate, God's going to recreate through Christ Jesus this earth to a beautiful place. And I look forward to that. And I hope that's your hope too, folks. I hope that your hope is in Jesus Christ, that God through his Son is going to do these things.
You know, if you pay too much attention to the things that are happening in the world, it's so depressing, so discouraging, maybe even the things happening in your personal life.
Sure.
But our hope is not in this world. It's in the Son of God, Jesus Christ.
Amen. And we're going to talk about that today. And we'll see, we're going to go through, we've been talking about the first part of the gospel, haven't we?
Yeah.
And we're going to kind of, this week and probably in the coming weeks, we're going to go back again, we do this often, into what the second part of the gospel is.
It's so important.
It really is. And, you know, just before we went on the air here, Ed, we were talking about how the world seems to just repeat things over and over. You turn on the news, it's just the same thing always. And even in churches, a lot of times you'll hear the same things over and over, right?
Right.
And so you might tune into this program saying, well, I'm hearing the same thing. Well, that's part of helping us to understand, because the world is bombarding you with these things that aren't truth. We have to hear the truth over and over.
Right. You know, you and I believe that the Bible is the truth.
Amen.
But in order to know what the truth is, you have to read it.
You have to read it.
You can't go by what other men say. Don't go by what you and I say.
Right.
Read the Bible yourself. Look at the words on the page.
And that's why God has given us this ministry, to be able to do these things.
Right.
So tell us a little bit about this ministry, Ed, would you?
We're just a really teeny small ministry here in Virginia, in Stanton, Virginia. And we have a Bible study on Wednesday evenings at 7. That's available via Zoom, and we have our worship hour, our worship service, on Saturday, or the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week. Mm-hmm. We have a Bible study at 9:30, available via Zoom or live stream, and we have our worship hour at 11 on the Sabbath, which is available via live stream.
Yes.
And Rick and Mary are doing a kind of a testimony prayer time on every other Monday night at 7.
That's great.
That's basically a Zoom meeting.
It is. It's on Zoom. And if you'd like the links to any of these, you can email us. And Ed, how do they email you?
You can email me, ed@prophecyhope.com.
There you go. Or you can email me at mark@prophecyhope.com. You can send us a general email if you can't remember our names, office@prophecyhope.com. And also, we have a website.
Yes.
And that website is prophecyhope.com. And Ed, you mentioned that it's not Prophecies of Hope. That's the name of the ministry.
Right.
But it's prophecyhope.com.
Yeah, that's the only address we could get.
Yeah, we couldn't get the domain name we wanted, and that happens quite often. So we took prophecyhope.com. That was years ago.
Yeah.
And there are many, many sermons on there. Each week we post a new sermon from that particular Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you go there, if you go to the website, you go to the left side, you will find the live stream button there where you can stream. And also below it, you'll find the Sabbath sermons. And then they're listed from the top to the bottom in order of the most recent one at the top.
Okay.
And the other thing is you'll find all of our Bible series that we've done over the years and all the different topics. Some of the, if you are looking for a particular topic, you can go to the search bar and type in, like if you're looking for the coming of Jesus or what happens at death, you can just type in death or dying or whatever it is, and it'll help you find that particular sermon. So that's just a little bit about this ministry. And is there any other business we need to take care of before we start this?
I just want to add on the website, there's some of the older radio programs.
Oh, thanks for that. Yes. Yeah. And some of we have them into 2023. And it takes so much time. And that's why I appreciate what Ray does for us, because it takes a lot of time for him to get all of the programming together, keep everybody in order, and get these things posted to where they're on the air at the right time. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
So we're really grateful to him for that. So I guess that's it.
Yeah.
So Ed, would you pray for us, please?
Sure. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we're again thankful to be able to open your word, the Bible. And today we're talking about the death of Christ and what happens after his death, after his resurrection. And Father, continue to bless us with knowledge of your word. Help us to see the words on the page. And we ask for guidance by the Spirit of Truth as we study these things today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Ed, last week we talked about the death of Jesus Christ, like you said in your prayer.
Yeah, they killed the Son of God.
They did. That's actually what we called the program last week.
Yeah.
They killed the Son of God. So let's do, if you don't mind, let's do a brief review. And we were in Luke chapter 23, I think.
Okay.
And is there anything maybe that stood out to you that will lead us into chapter 24 of Luke?
Well, yeah, I think the big thing to me is at the trial of Jesus Christ, they had a bunch of false witnesses. Mm-hmm. And you can find this in Matthew 26.
Yeah, even though we were in Luke, keep in mind, for those of you who you might be new to the Bible, that the Gospels are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they go together, and some of the people recorded things that the others didn't.
Right. You know, sometimes I go to a certain gospel just because I remember where things are in that gospel.
I do the same thing. So where are we?
And so at the trial, he's standing before the high priest, before the Sanhedrin, which is the authoritative council of the Jews,
right,
or I guess the leaders, the rulers of the Jews.
Sure.
And they're trying to find false witnesses to accuse Jesus of something they can put him to death. And they can't find anything.
Mm.
So finally, in verse 63.
This is Matthew 26?
Matthew 26, okay. Verse 63. The priest asked him in the verse before that, "Do you answer nothing?" But Jesus was silent, and the high priest answered and said to him, "I adjure you by the living God to tell us whether you are Christ, the Son of God."
Mm.
And Jesus said to him, "You said it. I tell you more, from this time you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, coming on the clouds of the heavens."
Mm-hmm.
Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, "He has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have a witness? Behold, now you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think?" They answered and said, "He is worthy of death." Then they spat in his face and beat him with the fist. Another struck him with the palms of their hands, saying, "Prophesy to us, Christ. Who is the one that struck you?" Jesus affirmed to them that he is the Son of God.
Yes, he did.
What's the huge battle in the Christian church today?
It's about who Jesus is.
Most churches, I won't say 100%, but it's got to be close, say that Jesus is not the Son of God.
It's very close to 100%. It's not 100%, but, Ed, this was one of the things that one of the critical issues in my studying the Bible that helped me to realize I couldn't find a church. I searched and searched that believed that Jesus was the Son of God. They'll tell you that. They'll tell you they believe it. But when you really dig down and you uncover what they believe, they don't believe that.
Yeah.
And this might be shocking. I'm sure there are Christians that are listening to this saying, "What? Are you kidding? My church teaches Jesus right. is the Son of God. I believe Jesus is the Son of God."
Most churches teach that Jesus is not the Son of God, but he is God the Son.
Right. Or they teach that he is a son that was created by God.
I'm discovering lately, I've been studying this, who do men say that I am? Mm-hmm. What Jesus asked his disciples, they say that he became the Son of God when he was born on this earth.
Yeah, but I've heard you ask this question, Ed. I've heard you say, well, you've actually made this comment. If God gave his son, he had to have a son to give.
Yeah.
And John 3:16 tells us that God gave his only begotten son.
Yeah, 1 John chapter 4 tells us that God sent his son.
Yes. He had to have a son
That's
to send.
That's a son, yeah.
It's very clear. So this understanding that Jesus became the Son of God when he was born on earth, that's when he became the Son of Man.
Right.
But he was the Son of God before he was the Son of Man.
Right. Let's go to Matthew 27 and
sure.
see how this affected everyone there at the crucifixion.
Okay.
In verse 35 it says, "And they crucified him, dividing his garments, casting a lot, so that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and they cast a lot for my clothing. And sitting down, they guarded him there. And they put up over his head his accusation, written, 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.'" Mm-hmm. "Then two thieves were crucified with him, one off on the right and one off the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, shaking their heads and saying, 'You destroying the temple and building it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross.'" Mm. "In the same way, also the chief priests mocked with the scribes and elders, saying, 'He saved others, but he cannot save himself. If he is the King of Israel, let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God.'"
Wow.
Jesus was crucified because he is the Son of God.
Yes, and he was telling the truth
yes.
about who he is. Now, the other thing that it just struck me, Ed, when you were reading this, when it says here, and I've seen this dozens of times, of course, but sometimes things just hit you, when you read mm-hmm. it. This is why we recommend you to open your Bible and read the words on the page.
Yeah, look at them, yeah. Listen to them.
In verse 40... you read, and this is from the New King James, it says, they said, "You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself." And then they make this comment, "If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross."
Right.
They're using the same phrase that Satan used
yes.
when he tempted Jesus.
Yes, Matthew 4.
"If you are the Son of God."
Yes.
In other words, by putting that word "if" in there, they're casting doubt.
Yes, they're saying they don't believe.
That's right. That's exactly what they're saying. We have to pay attention even to those little tiny words, right?
What did Jesus say about the Pharisees and the high priests and the rulers? He said they were the children of Satan.
Yeah, you're of your father, the devil. Yes. That's what he said. So
they're repeating the words of their father.
That's it. And even a little child, if they hear mom or dad say something, what do? They repeat it.
Yeah, that can be dangerous.
It can be dangerous. I know. I did that when I was a kid. I had said something and I heard my parents say it, and it got me in trouble, but then they realized, wait a minute, he heard us say that. So, you know, this is a powerful lesson. So here, they're calling into question the sonship of the Son of God.
Right. Let's read a little bit more.
Sure.
Verse 44, and also the thieves who were crucified with him reviled him, saying the same. Everybody was saying this. If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 45, and from the sixth hour, there was darkness all over the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Mm.
Who is Jesus talking to?
He's praying to his Father.
So his Jehovah, Yahweh, whatever name you want to use for the God who created the heavens and the earth through his Son, Jesus Christ, he's calling him my God.
That's right.
So it's not only is Jehovah his father, but he's also his God.
Exactly. And, you know, we have proof of that when he speaks to Mary.
Yeah.
And he says, go and tell my brothers, I think it's John chapter 20, if I'm not mistaken. And I don't want to take us off the topic, but it's the same thing.
Well, it leads us to where we're going.
Okay. Yeah. In fact, let's see. He's with Mary here. And, oh, it's in John chapter 20. And verse 17, Jesus said to her, do not cling to me. This was after his resurrection,
right?
And he says, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, this is very important, say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God.
Yes.
So Jesus is acknowledging right here, after his resurrection, that God is both his Father and his God. Right?
He's God is the head of Christ according to 1 Corinthians 11.
Yes. And so there is an order to things.
Yes.
And you know, this is something because, again, as you said just a little bit ago, Ed, so many Christians are taught that Jesus is, that they title him with this false title of God the Son.
You won't find that in the Bible.
Correct. It is not in the Bible anywhere. He is the Son of God.
Right.
He's the begotten Son. And
the only
begotten Son. That's correct. And then, you know, think about when we're thinking about Jesus and who he is. He even asked his disciples, who do you say that I am?
Yes.
He was very concerned about that, wasn't
right.
he? And he even wanted to know what men were saying.
Right.
And so this identity.
This is what men are saying. Not only at the cross, at his trial, but they're saying that today.
They're still saying
they're
it.
Actually going farther than Satan did in saying that Jesus is not the Son of God.
Yeah, it's so sad. You know, and just the question I always like to ask, because that one false statement, saying that Jesus is someone that he's not, leads to other false statements.
Yes.
And one of the things that happens is they start adding words to the Bible. Like they'll say, we know in Philippians that it's stated that Jesus was given equality with the Father. He was given that equality by the Father.
Well, it says that Jesus did not consider it robbery
to be equal
with God. And people say, well, that means he was God. He's equal with God. You need to understand. You need to look at the whole Bible. Look at what term that was used. Jesus did not consider it robbery.
Right.
Robbery is something you take by force.
True.
If you study the book of John especially, you see that this equality that Jesus has with God was given to him by his Father.
Yes. John 5:26.
Yes.
Let me read that real quick. John chapter 5.
There are so many things in the Bible where Jesus says, you know, I've been given these things by my Father.
Right.
If you read the Bible, you understand that Jesus only spoke the words that his Father gave him to speak.
Amen.
You understand that Jesus performed his miracles by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of his Father.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't through his own power.
That's right. It's what God gave him.
Yes.
And so it says in John 5:26, "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has given the Son to have life in himself."
Read the next verse.
And then it says, "And has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man."
He has given him authority.
Correct.
He has given him these things.
Correct. So when you hear in your church, when you sit there or you hear any pastor, any preacher, any person say that Jesus is God the Son, you can state clearly and even look it up in the Bible. It does not exist in the Bible. He right. is the Son of God. If people say that he is co-equal with the Father, the Bible never says that. It right. says he was given this gift of equality. Right. If it says that he's co-eternal with the Father, the Bible never says that. It never says he was co-eternal. Keep in mind, friends, that a son is never as old as his father.
Right.
And if Jesus is the Son of God and we're saying that he's co-eternal, then we're saying he's not truly a son. And we're falling into the same trap that the churches and these Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes and all of these people of old were doing.
Right.
The Sanhedrin, all of them. The same trap that Judaism has fallen into, that that Islam has fallen into, right. Christianity's accepting that same lie.
Yes. I was reading this morning in my personal devotions in John chapter 1, that Jesus, it talks, you know where this verse is, that Jesus is from the bosom of the Father.
Oh, John 1:18.
1:18.
That's one of my favorite texts.
"No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. No one else can declare God but his Son, because his Son knows him."
Amen.
And that's part of the reason why Christ came to this earth, to declare his Father to the world.
Yes, and to teach us about his Father and the love that his Father has and the salvation that is through Christ Jesus.
Yes.
And that leads us back again to where we started, because the whole reason that they put him to death was because they didn't want to accept that he's who he truly is.
It's like in the Garden of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
God told Adam and Eve, you can eat of any fruit of the tree except this one tree.
All of these trees are yours.
Yeah. And he told them, the day that you eat of it, you will surely die.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happened? Eve was deceived by this serpent, that was talking serpent, and he convinced her that you can be like God,
right?
That God is keeping something from you, and that surely you won't die.
Yeah.
So she believed him, took of the fruit, ate it, and then gave it to her husband. And Adam, who was not deceived, he knew what was going on, took it anyways. And so what happened? They discovered that they were naked.
Mm-hmm.
So they tried to fix the problem themselves.
They did.
They covered themselves with fig leaves to cover their nakedness.
But what happened?
Yeah, but when God came that evening in the garden to commune with them, to fellowship with them, they hid from him.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked them, "Well, why are you hiding from me?" And they said, "Because we are naked." But they weren't naked if they were covered themselves with fig leaves. So what are they talking about?
They felt naked because they had lost their righteousness.
Yes.
They were really openly exposed before God.
Yeah, and they couldn't fix it themselves.
We can't fix it ourselves. We might think we can.
Right.
There's nothing I can do to save myself, Ed.
So the only way for salvation is Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Amen.
And if you create another God, if you have a God in a box and says, God, it can only be like this,
then that's a dangerous thing.
Where does your salvation come from? Are you covering yourselves with your own fig leaves?
That's a great way to put it, yeah. Are you wearing your own fig leaves?
Are you still naked? Are you still being disobedient to God? Do you listen to these pastors that say that you can be saved in your sins?
You know, it boils down to, think about this, it just occurred to me. Here is Satan, the serpent, talking to Eve, convincing her that God is not telling her the truth.
Right.
Right? And he convinces her. And this is what we have today. There are people that are saying, look, I realize the Bible says Jesus is the Son of God, but he's really not the Son of God.
Yeah.
It's the same thing right. that's going on.
Yes, exactly.
And people are accepting it. They're believing it instead of believing what God says. Who are we going to believe?
That's a good question. You have to make a choice. Everyone has to make their own choice. Study the Bible for yourself. You notice I didn't say read only.
Right.
Read and study it. Compare scripture to scripture. And decide for yourself, what does the Bible say? Mm. I grew up learning how to study the Bible to defend what my church was teaching
right.
me. Same or here. To prove somebody else wrong. You're never going to find the truth if you study the Bible that way.
Right.
If you want to know what the Bible says, study it and find out what it says. And then you're going to have to make a choice. Do I believe what the words on the page say? And most of the words on the page of the Bible are totally different than what most pastors preach, most churches teach. And you'll discover that. And you'll have to come to a place where you make a choice. Do you believe the Bible? Or do you believe what men say?
And let me tell you, friends, this is not always an easy choice.
It's not.
It's difficult.
It's very difficult because most of the time, my salvation, my sense of salvation is associated with a church,
right.
a denomination, or maybe even a pastor.
Yeah.
And if they are wrong, what happens to my salvation?
Yeah, see, as humans, that's how we think. But our salvation is not linked to a denomination or a church or a pastor.
It's linked to Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
That's the only way.
Yes.
He is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no way to the Father except through him.
Yes.
He didn't say, go to your church, and that's the way to my Father.
Right.
He never said that.
The churches, the pastors, are supposed to be pointing you to Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Amen. That's where we need to be directing people. And this is what we try really hard in this ministry to do. Don't follow prophecies of hope.
No.
You know, God can use you just as he is using a ministry like this. But don't trust the ministry. You have to read it for yourself.
Yes.
You have to know it for yourself. And that was the danger, Ed. I grew up very much like you did in that
In a different church,
different beliefs in many ways. But the thing is, I was programmed, I'll call it that, mm-hmm. to defend my church
right.
rather than to read and study the Bible and know what it says. All of my views were from their vantage point. And here's the thing, friends, the truth is not popular.
No.
The things that the Bible teaches are not popular. This is why Jesus ended up being crucified on a cross, because the things he was saying were not popular.
If you look at the Bible and what it says about how we should live your life mm-hmm. and compare it to your own life, if you actually are honest with yourself and see what's really in your heart, it's scary.
Mm-hmm.
How can I be saved?
Yeah.
But that very thing will lead you to realize your need of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who can not only have forgiveness of those things that we've done in the past because of his death on the cross, his blood that he shed on the cross, but also through his life that he wants to live in you, can help you overcome sin in your life.
It's a beautiful thing.
This is the two-part gospel.
Yes.
Forgiveness and then a change.
So when you say, we've talked about this before, but I know there are people listening that haven't listened before. You said the two-part gospel. What's yes. the first part? What's the
difference? The first part is what we talked about last week.
Okay.
They killed Jesus, the Son of God.
And this is where most people stop.
Yes.
Right?
Understanding that his death was this gracious gift of God for a community on this earth that didn't deserve it
mm-hmm.
because of the sinfulness of our lives, the sinfulness of our hearts and minds.
Mm-hmm.
Yet he gave his son to pay the penalty, the wages of sin is death,
right?
people try to tell you differently, but the Bible still says that, to pay that penalty for us.
Right.
So I can be in a right standing with God.
And not that I can continue to do the things that I do and be in a right standing.
Right. If you have accepted this gift of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and you are acceptable to God, now what? Mm. I still have life to live.
Right.
The devil is still out there tempting me. The world is not only as evil, but probably more evil as time goes
worse.
On. How can I maintain that standing with God?
Mm.
Well, there's only one way. Again, it's through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Paul says in Galatians 2, it's not I that live, but Christ that lives within me.
Yeah.
This is the full gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So where we left off last week, Jesus was still in the tomb.
Yes.
Right? That's where we were studying. So He had been put to death. He had been put in the tomb, and they went back and they prepared these spices, right? But they didn't go back to the tomb on the Sabbath because it was God's holy day.
Right? So
and,
let's go to Luke 24.
Okay. Now. That sounds good.
And why don't we do this? Let me read the first 12 verses.
Sure.
And this is going to be the King James Version. I'm switching versions here.
Okay. One thing, let me just point this out, if I may, before, because I mentioned this last week, and this was a powerful thing to me. So here we have Jesus had died on a Friday, and He was in the tomb through the whole, that Friday evening, and that whole Sabbath day. And then we come here, and you'll see when you read chapter 24, verse 1, it tells us the day of His resurrection,
right? Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sculpture, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. The they being the women that were followers of Christ that had wanted to, it's not embalm, but to prepare spices to cover His body, to cover the scent of death.
Right.
Verse 2, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, the two men in the shining garments, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered His words. And they returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest, the 11 being the disciples. It was Mary Magdalene, and Jonah, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their word seems to them as idle tales, fairy tales, falsehood.
Right.
And they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was to come to pass. You know, if you think about the emotions at that time, we have the followers of Jesus Christ, His apostles, who had been with Him 3 to 3.5 years. They had given up everything.
Yes, they had.
Their jobs, their families, to follow Jesus Christ. And they were looking for Jesus Christ to come into power, to save Israel from the Romans, to create a kingdom.
Right.
And then this thing happened where He was betrayed by Judas. And in overnight, He had a trial, The next day, he was put to death.
Right.
What happened to all their hopes and dreams, their beliefs about Jesus?
Well, they should have known what was going on, but they were dashed to pieces because they were so wrapped up in the moment.
When Christ was on the cross, there was only one person that believed in him.
Mm.
And that was one of the thieves on the cross.
The one that said, "Remember me."
Yes.
Yeah.
The only one that believed. So we here we have, this was on a Friday, and the Sabbath happened,
mm-hmm.
and then the first day of the week,
Sunday
these
morning.
Women went to the tomb to finish what they were trying to do that Friday afternoon, but they couldn't because it was the preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to start when the sun set on Friday evening.
Mm-hmm.
And they find Jesus is not there. His body is not there. And these two men in shining garments, which I believe are probably angels.
Mm-hmm. It appears that way.
Reminded them of the words that Jesus spoke, that he told them that he was going to be crucified, that he was going to be delivered in the hands of sinful men, and that he would rise on the third day. And they went back and told the 11, Judas had taken his own life by this time, and they didn't believe them. Their words seemed to them as idle tales, as untruth.
Mm.
And then Peter ran to the sepulcher and saw for himself that Jesus wasn't there.
Yeah. You know,
wow.
This is an amazing account, and there's so much information here that sometimes we overlook. One of the things that I wanted to point out that really stood out to me, and I mentioned this last week, but it had such an impact on my life, was the fact that, you know, we read in Genesis how God created the earth in 6 days and he rested on the seventh.
Right.
From his work of creating the world. That's what it tells us. And it tells us that again in the Ten Commandments, where it says that God requires us to work 6 days, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord or Jehovah your God. And then here in Jesus' life and his death, we see that he dies on the preparation day, which we covered this a couple of weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
about this preparation day and what it was for. And he died on the Passover, being the Passover lamb.
Right.
This should have been a clue to these folks, shouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
It should have been crystal clear who Jesus is and who he was.
Their expectations of who Jesus was were not totally accurate.
Right.
And they never expected his death to happen. They should have, because Jesus told them it was going to happen several times.
Right. I think, go ahead, keep going.
Isn't it any different today that people's expectation of who Jesus is not who Jesus really is?
That's where I was headed, because they're also distracted by the religious leaders. These people were distracted by the religious leaders.
Right.
Because they were denying Jesus is who he says he is.
Right.
That's what's happening today. This is why we started this program the way we started it. People are denying that Jesus is who he says he is.
Yes.
And so if they had paid attention to all of the Old Testament prophecies, if they had been paying attention to everything that took place during the time of their sacrifices that they were doing in the temple, and they understood that these things were pointing to this very moment,
right.
to this very moment yes. in time that we're reading about, they would
since
have understood.
The Garden of Eden, since
Absolutely.
Adam and Eve sinned, the reason they didn't die that day,
mm-hmm.
people say, well, God lied. They didn't die that day. No, they didn't die. Why? They knew they were still naked, even though they tried to cover themselves with their own fig leaves,
mm-hmm.
self-righteousness. Why didn't they die that day? Because God covered them with coats of skin.
Yeah.
Where do coats of skin come from?
Well, an animal has to die
yes.
in order to get a skin garment, doesn't it?
So God instituted the sacrificial system that day in the Garden of Eden.
Pointing to
what Jesus Christ would come and do. Revelation 13:8 talks about the Lamb of God who is slain from the foundation of the world.
Yes. And that's why when I read that text, the Lamb of God, and John says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world."
Yeah.
That's why my understanding of Genesis is it was very likely lambs that were slain, one for Adam, one for Eve.
Yeah.
And God took the skin of that lamb and covered them instead of their fig leaves.
Which represents the righteousness of Jesus Christ that he gives us.
Amen.
Because of the sacrifice of Christ.
And then the blood of that lamb had to be poured out to atone for their sin.
Right.
And so we see that, like you said, Ed, the plan of salvation was shown to them in the garden.
Yes.
And they were to carry that through. So here, go ahead.
We have the thing that, since the beginning of the foundation of the world, was pointing to this day.
Yes. This very moment that we're reading about right here.
Everything was pointed to this happening. This was the promise that for salvation through the Son of God, the Lamb of God.
Yes.
And so now it had happened. And in verse 3 of Luke 24, it says, "They went into the tomb and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus."
That's right.
You pointed this out several years ago, that every resurrection in the Bible is a bodily resurrection.
Yes, every single one. We can't find one that's not. And, you know, it's the reason that had such an impact on me, Ed, is I was taught something false about that.
Yeah.
I was taught something contrary to what you just said. But the Bible is clear. Every resurrection in the Bible was bodily and had eyewitnesses, including this one.
Right.
The most important one.
Yeah.
Right?
Let's keep reading Luke 24. Can you continue on in verse 13? Read as far as you want and stop and comment as much as you want.
Sure. So beginning here in verse 13.
They've gone to the tomb. Jesus isn't there.
Yes. It's an empty tomb. And I'm reading from the New King James. It says, "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day." That's these
two of the
disciples.
Followers.
Yeah. "They were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem." It's a long way to walk.
Yeah.
It says, "And they talked together on all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him." That's so important, Ed.
Right.
Why is that important?
Because a lot of people say Jesus was different when he was raised from the tomb.
But that's not what the text says.
No, it says their eyes were held so they couldn't know him. They couldn't see him because their eyesight was limited.
Yeah, in other words.
So they couldn't recognize him as Jesus.
And I believe that's, at this point, this is the way Jesus wanted it.
Yes.
Keep in mind, this is the Son of God. So he has capabilities that you and I don't have.
Right.
So it says, "Their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him." In verse 17, "And he," that's Jesus, "said to them, 'What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?' And the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, 'Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happen there in these days?'"
And it's like the saying, "You live under a rock?" Well, Jesus was in a rock.
That's right. And yes, I live under a rock, under the Son of God, right?
Yeah.
And I can stand on that rock.
Amen.
Amen. So, yeah, and it was. It was almost like, "Where have you been? You don't know what happened here?" And then in verse 19, "And he, that's Jesus, said to them, 'What things?' So they said to him, 'The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed in word and word before God and all the people.'"
How can you stop there?
Yeah, sure.
This is the Modern King James. "And he said to them, 'What things?' And he said to him, 'The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a man, a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people.'" Yours doesn't say a man, does it?
No, mine says, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people.
Wow. I wonder why the modern King James is different.
I don't know. But the thing is, keep in mind, Jesus is the Son of Man and the Son of God.
Yeah.
So once he was born on this earth, he became the Son of Man.
You know, so, the King James doesn't add a man either.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, it just goes to show people that what version of the Bible you read makes a difference. It's good to compare versions and multiple versions.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's just a brief warning. Be careful about paraphrases.
Yes.
Be careful of paraphrases. They can really help sometimes, but at the same time, there's a lot of things that are added. There's a lot of embellishing.
Right.
So, anyway.
All right. Can you just repeat verse 19?
Sure.
Keep going?
It says, "And he said to them, 'What things?' So they said to him, 'The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who went with us to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he," that's Jesus, "said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?'" So he's telling them here, don't you know what the Bible says?
Yes.
Really, isn't that what he's saying?
Yes.
Don't you know what the scriptures say? And they didn't. I guess they heard it, but they heard it according to the leaders.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's what happened. The leaders got these people stirred up to where they rejected the
Son of God. So what does Jesus do then?
Well, it says here, after he says, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And verse 27, it tells us, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself."
He took them back to the Bible.
Yes, he did. He took them all the way back. When it says Moses, remember, Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible.
Right.
So where did he start?
Genesis.
Right in the beginning.
Yeah.
And he, I'm sure that when he was talking about this, he pointed to, look, in the garden, here's what
yes.
happened. There was a sacrifice that
right.
took place. This is me.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't say this is me, but
right.
he was pointing
to Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's pointing to himself, but didn't say this is about me.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
He's trying to get them to see it.
That's why we point people to the Bible.
Amen.
So you don't have to believe us.
Right.
You shouldn't believe us just because we say it. Look at God's Word.
Amen.
Believe what it says. This is what Jesus was doing with two of his followers.
Yes.
He was pointing them back to the Bible. He wasn't saying, listen to me because I'm the Son of God. I was just raised up. He was pointing back to the Bible so they would listen to the truth in the Scriptures.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting about this, Ed, is it says here, I want to read it again, verse 27. This is Luke 24:27. And this is speaking about what Jesus did. It says, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself."
Yeah.
Was Jesus a New Testament Christian?
No, Jesus only quoted from the Old Testament, as we can see here.
Yeah. He was, because the New Testament wasn't out yet.
He was writing the New Testament. He was living the New Testament.
He's living it so that it could be recorded for us,
right.
And that's what we're reading about. So, friends, when people say, "I am a New Testament Christian."
Why do they say that?
Because they're really trying to get rid of God's law.
Yeah, they're trying to deny some of the things in the Old Testament. So they say it doesn't matter.
But you know, God's law hasn't changed.
No, this is proof of it here. Jesus is showing them the Old Testament after
yeah,
his resurrection.
Absolutely. He's pointing right to it and saying, look, all of these things are preaching of me. Yeah. In fact, even the Ten Commandments, we find Jesus was quoting the Ten Commandments when he said you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself.
People, you know, I was kind of shocked when I first discovered this a few years ago, but the Bible says in John chapter 12, the last maybe 7 or 8 verses, Jesus only spoke the words that his Father gave him to speak. And it tells you why. It's because those words he knew lead to life everlasting.
Absolutely.
And so he only spoke the words that his Father gave him to speak. So when people say that Jesus changed the Ten Commandments, he didn't.
No.
He's just speaking the words that God gave him to speak, which are just a summary of God's commandments found in the Old Testament.
Right. And Malachi is very clear that God doesn't change.
Right.
He's the same always. Hebrews is clear. The Lord Jesus doesn't change. Jesus didn't come to change the teachings of the Father, and Jesus didn't come to establish something that God didn't establish.
Right. So when we see that here in verse 27 that Jesus is just expounding to them the scriptures concerning himself. Mm. What do you think they were thinking?
You know, we see that as we read through this account, okay. The things that it says.
All right, let's continue on then.
All right, so it says, so keep in mind, they're walking along this road. They don't know who they're speaking to at
right.
this point because their eyes were restrained from seeing him. And yeah. then they had the 7-mile journey.
They saw him, but they didn't recognize
right.
him.
Right. Yeah, I'm sorry. Did I say they didn't see him?
Yeah.
Yeah, they could see someone, but they just didn't recognize who right. he was. And here we go, verse 28. It says, then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, this is Jesus sitting at the table with them, and he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he walked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?
Oh, wow. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Jesus sharing the scriptures with you.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, there's things that we don't see that he would be pointing out to us right at this moment.
Right.
You know? And it says in verse 33, so they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were there with them gathered together.
So it was evening time. The
yes.
day was far spent.
Right.
It was 7 miles
yeah.
distance between
That's
Jerusalem
true.
And Emmaus.
Yeah.
And what did they do? They rose up the same hour, returned to Jerusalem. 7 miles. I'm sure it was dark by the time
oh,
they got
sure.
there.
Absolutely. It had to be.
Yeah.
So they rose up that very hour, returned to Jerusalem, found the 11 and those that were gathered, verse 34, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that they had that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread.
Their hearts burned within them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, this, Ed, while I have never met Jesus face to face, I can't say that I've ever heard an audible voice.
Right.
But I understand, for lack of a better word, seeing the light in a certain way for the first time
and
many times in my life.
Seeing the light, seeing the truth of God's word, seeing the truth
yes.
of Jesus Christ being the Son of God.
And what a difference it makes. You know, the overwhelming feeling I got the first time that I recognized that Jesus was, in fact, the literal Son of God.
Yeah.
I couldn't speak fast enough. I couldn't turn to the scriptures fast enough.
Right.
And I was recounting and recalling things that all of my life I had read, but never in the context of Jesus being the Son of God. Does that make sense,
yes.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, friends, if you've never experienced that, keep studying your Bible. You'll see things that you've never seen before.
You claim the promises of God's word for wisdom and understanding. The promise of Jesus said that I'll send you the Spirit of truth to guide you into all truth.
Mm. Yeah.
God will answer those prayers for
Amen.
You.
Amen. He will.
And then you'll have a choice to make. Do I believe the words on the page of the Bible? Or do I believe what my pastor teaches or my church teaches?
And let me tell you, friends, that's not always an easy decision.
No, it's not.
Because for me and Ed, the same for you, maybe one's more extreme than the other, but we had to make a decision individually at different times, in our, you know, for you than for me,
right.
And on different points.
Yes.
Right? And we had to make a decision. Am I going to do what I know God wants me to do? Or am I going to, just to appease my friends, keep them happy,
mm-hmm.
and stay here and do the things that, that make me feel good and that are comfortable?
Or your family.
Yeah. And I had to go to my family and say, look, this is what I believe. And I showed them from the Bible, this is what I believe.
And there was a risk of eternal separation from your family.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And certain friends that I had would never speak to me again.
Yeah.
And my family even threatened to cut me off. And I said, well, you know, if that's how you feel, I will always be here for you.
Right.
You know, I'll support your belief as far as, you know, I'll respect your understanding, but I can't stay there.
Jesus says, count the cost of following me.
That's right.
There's a cost.
There is. There
and
is.
And you have to be willing to bear your cross and follow Jesus.
And so what I hear you saying is that it's not necessarily easy.
No, it's not. There's consequences.
You have to make a choice.
Yeah.
What is the choice? That's where we started. We started talking about the choices that we make.
Right.
You know, and we're actually out of time. It's hard to believe. Wow. So did you have a closing comment you wanted
to
make about this?
Well, you know, maybe we can pick up here again next week and see where Jesus appeared to his disciples who were still not believing account that he had been risen.
So, friends, read through Luke 24. Read that account, and next week we'll come back to this, and we'll continue right here.
Right.
So let's have a closing prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, what a blessing it is to read about your Son, Jesus Christ, and we're just so grateful that you've had these words recorded for us. It's so encouraging to see the faith that these men had and how when Jesus broke that bread, they could clearly see who he is. And Father, I just ask that you will give us that moment, those who are listening, that they can recognize your Son, Jesus Christ, the true Son of God, the literal Son of God. So Father, please be with us until we come together again next week. We ask for your blessing upon each and every person here, and we pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, Ed, thank you again.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to next Sunday evening, 7 p.m. We'll be right here, friends. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.